Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
I expect peak oil to be one of the most potent forces shaping our politics over the next decades. I explored how this might play out with a group of political activists last weekend at Democracy Fest, an annual education event and celebration that this year took place in Burlington, Vermont. The organizers of Democracy Fest are progressive Democrats, but I would have taken pretty much the same message about peak oil and politics to activists of any ideological stripe. More than ever, when oil becomes unaffordable, or just plain unavailable, we're all in this together. Since I was meeting with people who've thought a lot about politics, I wanted to learn from the participants as well as teach. I asked each of them to write down a political issue important to them, and told them I was going to later ask them to think about how it would look different in the light of peak oil. Then I did something I'd never done before in a presentation. I stepped aside for 12 minutes to show a video on peak oil, what it is, when it's likely to hit us, and its likely effects. I prefer to present the information live for live audiences, but this was a group of activists who I hoped would want to go out and spread the word about the importance of planning around peak oil. I didn't want them to spend weeks or months or years learning about the subject before they felt comfortable talking to others about it. Fortunately, Post Carbon Institute in California created an excellent video last year specifically designed for showing to busy policymakers who maybe were willing to give 15 minutes to be introduced to this vital subject. You can find it on their website, postcarbon.org, by searching for the Peak Oil for Policymakers video. You can watch it by streaming it from Post Carbon Institute's website, or buy a DVD with this and several other short videos. Anyway, after the video, I asked the participants to spend a couple minutes writing down how the important points about the political issue they'd picked earlier would change when they considered the consequences of an imminent peak to world oil production. And then I asked them to share them with each other in small groups. I walked them through an example with Vermont's state agricultural policy. Without considering peak oil, one of the most urgent issues in Vermont agriculture is helping dairy farms stay in business during the present and future troughs in the business cycle, when their costs of production far exceed the price the farmers get for their milk. Other important issues include diversifying production from dairy to many other crops and products, encouraging direct marketing and value-added work so farmers can capture a larger share of the food dollar, and the ambitious goal of growing in Vermont 25% of the food Vermonters eat by 2015. This goal is central in a new book by Ron Krupp called Lifting the Yoke. In my example, I contended that when you consider peak oil, the importance of keeping dairy farms in business in the dairy industry fades. The present dairy industry relies on long-distance shipment of bulk milk exported from the state, an oil-intensive enterprise. It's more important, I think, to consider on-farm production of butter and cheese, which produce a much more value-concentrated product for shipping, and to help dairy farmers transition to some other type of production that can be eaten in the state. Supermarkets only contain 3 days' worth of food, so when the food trucks stop rolling or even just make fewer trips, we'll be looking to our in-state and nearby farmers to produce for us. The question of food versus fuel becomes more important in a post-peak world, too. Our farmland could be used to produce wood chips or grasses for pellet fuel instead of food, or oilseed crops for biodiesel, with animal feed as another product. With 60% of Vermont homes heated by oil, it's important to find another way to keep warm in the winter, but we also want to feed our bellies. Finally, I suggested that it would be a prudent goal to be capable of producing 95% of the food we eat in or near Vermont sometime in the near future. The highways are clogged with food trucks now, but I want us to know what we're going to do as we become more dependent on local production. I was pleased that the participants got it. Two of them who shared with each other thought at first that their issues of health and food were unrelated. As they talked, though, they realized that eating local food could both increase food security by strengthening the local food economy and help with obesity and other health issues. Local food is likely to be less processed and more nutritious than global corporate food. Other participants thought about the effects of environmental refugees, fearing that people from nearby big cities would flee to Vermont and overwhelm our ability to provide for ourselves. A high school student focused on universities and how their workers and students could both commute and also travel for research. Another one said healthcare will face new questions about how to procure medicine that's manufactured far away and taken for granted now. Even within the community of people who regularly discuss peak oil and its effects, I don't think we've really begun to consider the range of ways peak oil will affect our lives. Why don't you take a few minutes today to consider how severe oil constraints would affect a political issue important to you? Next week, I'll look at broader political forces and how peak oil is likely to affect them. I'm Carl Ettinger, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.